The streets of Caracas, Venezuela last week after the Venezuela Supreme Court seized power from the National Assembly, effectively dissolving the elected legislature. After intense scrutiny both on the domestic and international fronts over the weekend, the court reversed course, rolling back parts of this controversial decision. Whose ruling? It's anyone's guess. It was seen as setting the stage for one-man rule under President Nicolas Maduro. Meanwhile, Venezuelans continue to face a growing humanitarian crisis throughout their country, with food shortages a daily reality. Carolina Acosta Alzuro is a media studies professor at the University of Georgia who's from Venezuela and whose family still lives in the country.
From a personal perspective, I'm extremely worried because my whole family is there and my friends. I grew up there. I was born there. It's my country. I love it dearly. From an academic perspective, I'm also very worried. The government of Nicolas Maduro has become increasingly authoritarian. Last week's events were very worrisome to me for several reasons. I think it's a government that's determined not to hold elections ever again. And that has to worry anyone. It's completely anti-democratic.
Are elections doable?
Of course they are. They have just been postponed by the government because they know they will lose the election. So they're not going to hold elections. And that's the major point here for a government that needs to be democratic, in which they have been holding elections so far because they knew they could win them. But once they realized they could not win them anymore, they are not holding them.
What do you think is going on between the judiciary and the executive? Is there any precedent for the Supreme Court seizing power from the National Assembly? Is this a constitutional process?
This is not constitutional. Before the two rulings last week, there had been 54 rulings from the Supreme Court, the Supreme Tribunal, against the National Assembly, which is the elected legislative body. So this is not new. The problem is that last week, there were two rulings, and one of them literally stripped away the legislative body of its functions and gave powers to Nicolas Maduro. And they had to know that they were going to risk, international pressure against this ruling. They knew it would have a backlash. So why take that calculated risk? And I think the calculated risk is taken for economic reasons.
Is it possible to compare President Maduro with the late President Chavez, who, while beloved of the people, was also seen to be something of a one-party ruler, a dictator, a person who didn't necessarily embrace elections?
Well, first of all, Nicolas Maduro doesn't have at all the charisma that Hugo Chavez had. He doesn't have also the sort of the control over his own people, the chavismo, that Hugo Chavez had. So Nicolas Maduro he ran on the coattails of late President Chavez and won by a little bit. And then he has tried to keep going on those coattails. But that, of course, wears thin when people are beginning to be hungry and all that. Also, oil prices went down. So there's a lot of things that were happening at the same time. He does not have the approval ratings that Chavez had ever. And Chavez was a sort of a one-party man. He actually planted the seeds of this storm that we now are living. But these are two very different characters and two very different characters in the way they relate to the Venezuelan people.
How does the Maduro government relate to the military in Venezuela?
That's a very important question because the military, he has included the military in the government. So you see many more posts, governmental posts, that are in military hands than you used to see in the Chavez government or ever before. And so that is important because usually when you have a situation like we have right now in Venezuela in which you have the social and economic situation is stark. You have scarcity, you have hunger, you have crime rates that are soaring, human rights are a disaster, media control by several ways. Usually you think of the military, well, are the military going to abide this? Are they going to do something? But the military, in a sense, are like a black box. We don't really know what's happening inside. What we know is that many of them are in the government. And there have been, you know, investigative reports that are very important, like Associated Press did one, and where you can see that the military are actually part of the sort of mafias that control the corruption around food imports, etc.
What does your family tell you about what's the next stage? I mean, are they experiencing the scarcity and the hunger? And is there a point at which, you know, they're going to pack up and leave?
All this has actually shown even more the differences between the haves and the have-nots. So those, the haves, have the opportunity to buy things in the black market at black market prices, and my family would belong to that part. The have-nots are in line endlessly to buy, you know, staples that they may or may not find. They go online to buy whatever they can find. My family buys most of their things on the black market. Still, for instance, I am going soon there, and they already sent me a list of things that I should bring with me to bring to my mom, where is where I stay. My mom is elderly. So I'm bringing, I can tell you the list. It includes rice, sugar, coffee, flour, or, you know, oil for cooking oil, which I don't know how I'm going to take that, soap, dishwashing soap, toothpaste, and of course, medicines that are here are so basic, like aspirin or acetaminophen or ibuprofen. You can find them there. So that's the situation. It's my mother. I have four siblings. They all live there. And my mother is actually a U.S. citizen. So for her, it would be easy to come here. But she has most of her children there. And she's elderly. She doesn't want to leave.
Carolina Acosta Alzura is a media studies professor at the University of Georgia, worried about her family in Venezuela as we are, watching a nation slowly fail or slowly turn a corner, unknown at this point. Carolina, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.